Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark.
Encounters with the Unknown, Volume 9, Story 1. Being born and raised in Atascosa County, living in Lemming and Pleasanton, I can tell you that there is definitely a house in Pleasanton that my family lived in that is haunted. Before we had moved in, the family that lived there had four little boys. The woman made the statement they all slept in the downstairs living room. I thought that was odd with all those bedrooms. But after she moved out and we moved in, I found out why they slept together downstairs. The kitchen, living room, and one bedroom downstairs were not haunted. However, when you opened the door to the hallway, bathroom, and stairway to the two bedrooms upstairs, that is where the haunting begins. You could hear whispers when no one else was home. Once we invited my dad over, and he does not believe in ghosts. He stood in that hallway, looking up the stairs, and he could not explain away the sounds of a whirlwind when the outside air was one of those still hot summer days that Texas is known for. When no one else was home, you would hear walking up and down the stairs, closing of doors, whispering, enough to drive you outside to wait for more family to get home. During the 7-year period we lived there, there were so many things that happened to us. I have many more stories I could tell about this place, but I can tell you this, it was haunted. The red eyes under my daughter's bed was more than enough to convince me. Many times all the books in my daughter's bookshelf decided to fall one at a time. We would put them back up, and there they went again. Finally, I just put a trash can under the shelf, and they all fell into the can. Both my girls and husband were there to witness that one. Gosh, when I think back, I do not know how we stayed there for so long. Each time we come in and visit Pleasanton and my friends, we drive by the house. We want to stop so bad and see if the people living there now witness the same things, but we do not dare. Because we have heard that some ghosts can attach themselves to people, and they might remember me. Story number 2. It was late August of 1994 when my new boyfriend took me to Gateway Park for the first time. We arrived at the park between 6 and 7 p.m. On our way in, we passed a couple of cars on their way out, so we had the parking lot all to ourselves, and for the most part, the place was empty. A jogger here, a cyclist there. Oh, yeah. And the guy that was sitting atop the wooden railing that lined a pretty cool wooden rampway that led you effortlessly descend the high sheer face that was the bank of the West Fork Trinity River. With all the beautiful and awesome sights, I really took only enough notice of him to know he was there. My boyfriend and I began walking towards the gazebo, a route that took us directly behind and approximately 25 feet from the man on the rail. No big deal, right? We strolled right past him, of course, but it wasn't more than a few steps further when the cold hit me. Unconsciously, I began to rub my arms, which were covered with chill bumps, to warm them. I started thinking, wow, that's weird. It's August. The temperature is still in the low 90s. Must be a cool breeze off the water. Yet, when I tried to detect this breeze, I found out there was no breeze, not even off the water. This observation also led to another. It wasn't the air that was making me cold. The cold was in my bones, chilling me from the inside out. We reached the gazebo, where we both sat heavily and stared at the ground. The chill was so pervasive, I got up and paced the length of the table, rubbing my arms. It seems kind of cold to me, I laughed nervously, hearing how that sounded on a bright, warm day like it was. He instantly looked up at me, our eyes met, and he said, "Me too." We talked some more, and after a few minutes, we were headed to see the other branch of the park. We used the same path back that took us right by the guy who was still sitting there with his back to us. We were directly behind him, fixing to take the next step when I saw him begin to turn around. My next step was that he would face us. Then the next step, I realized that I could see right through him. The next step, my pace had quickened quite a bit, and I was pulling my boyfriend along, all the while urgently whispering, "We have got to get out of here. We have to go. We need to go right now." He looked at me quizzically, then looked toward the deck, and then we were running. We reached the car, engulfed in terror, and nearly blindly sped out of there. We talked about what happened and what we each saw and felt. We both experienced this entity. It was powerful, and it emanated evil so heavily that it was like a feeling that you could see and touch. Next story. This happened in 1970. We lived in this big old house that once was a mansion. It had three floors to it. Actually, I think the third floor must have been the attic, now that I think about it. That was where we lived. It was on Hemp Hill Street, close to Morningside. The house is no longer there. Anyway, to get to our apartment on the top floor, you had to enter the door on the second floor. Our three kids were in New Mexico with my parents. My husband got up to go to work that morning, and everything was normal. Then it got weird. I must have dozed off. I heard the keys in the door on the second floor and heard footsteps coming up the stairs. I called out, "Did you forget something?" Well, nothing was there, and I thought it was my imagination. I went back to sleep. Then I heard this noise out on like Hemp Hill, like a car crash. I got up, looked out. Yep, car crash. Then I went back to sleep. Well, I did not know if I really got out of bed or not. The one window in our bedroom was floor level, and someone could fall out of it, so I could see out that window pretty well, and I went back to sleep. I remembered seeing a wet dog now when the car crash happened. It was raining, but not in reality. Somehow, a wet dog had gotten to my apartment. Okay, it was not threatening or anything, and I just could not stay awake. When I did finally wake up, I remembered all that transpired. I thought, whoa, what a wild dream. But when my feet hit the floor, there was a puddle of water right where the dog had sat. Spooky, to say the least. Next story. When I was 15, we moved to Watauga, Texas. We were all unhappy to be moving, and maybe that caused something to start happening. But we were all affected in different ways. Our house was on Watauga Court, not far from a school. The house number had 3 and 6 in it, which we all found creepy, but we tried to make the best of it. It wasn't our top pick, but the area was nice, and the house was the biggest one for the price. There were 6 of us, Mom, her second husband, myself, 2 younger sisters, and our little brother. Please hang in there. I feel I need to describe the house so you'll have a better idea of where everything happened. Well, you see, it's been 27 years, and we still remember it like it was yesterday. The house was originally built with 3 bedrooms and 2 bathrooms, but they took part of the 2-car garage and turned it into a 1-car garage with a bonus room. We were told it was a dining room, but with a galley kitchen and breakfast nook. We didn't need a dining room, so the bonus room, being without a door, was given to my young brother. The washer and dryer were on the right side before you walked into this room. There was a glass sliding door and an 80s-style big glass wall, which when closed led to the backyard from the living room. The bathroom was in the hall, across from the smallest bedroom, which were for my 2 little sisters. My room was at the end of the hall with Mom, and for a short time her then husband's room on the right-hand side of the hall. They had a bathroom off their room past that cold closet. You could easily say that was the creepiest, most uneasy feeling room in the house. The room felt wrong, like you invaded someone's space and he was angry. Don't ask me why, but I always felt it was a he presence, but it was, and he was angry. I don't remember what happened first, but the house didn't feel right from the beginning. We were all upset about moving and just thought we were feeling each other's unhappiness. Mom tried to make the best of it and make everyone happy despite dealing with being attacked each and every night that she slept in her room. You see, my mom tried to sleep but had horrible nightmares each and every night. In her dream, she was attacked and then brutally murdered by being shot in the head every night. It didn't matter who was in the room with her. It happened every night. After she and her husband separated, it became worse. My room with the beautiful blue wallpaper on one wall was always cold. I felt safe, but then uneasy, scared, and then terrified in this room at different times. I heard breathing and footsteps on the floor in the dark. Once, my friend Mary stayed over, and we were laughing, feeling silly girls, until we heard what sounded like someone stomping in the hall. We waited for someone to come open the door, but Instead, the plush carpeted floor next to us flatted down into places like someone was standing over us, and the room felt frozen. It was almost instantly that we jumped back off the floor and away. We screamed for Mom, but no one heard us. After a while, the floor returned to normal, and we heard the footsteps go back down the hall. When we ran out, we were told to stop scaring each other and go to bed. My closet felt odd again, going from safe to scared. The door would open on its own, but I was told the house was settling. I used to sneak out to go to a friend's house, and the moment I climbed out my window, I felt safe. However, when I climbed back in, it was terror all over again. But I just thought it was my being afraid to get caught. My sisters were supposed to have my room, because it was bigger than theirs, and they were sharing a room, but they wouldn't walk past the doorway. They said it's scary, it's cold, but their room felt hot and suffocating to me. They were the first to speak up. They screamed bloody murder one night, and we all ran in there to find them fully clothed, shoes and all, on the bed together, with each pointing one finger at their closet. They were pale, shaking, and screaming. The closet door was open with a light on, and it looked normal, but it felt hot. They said the toys were moving on their own. This happened several times. My little brother screamed about seeing snakes and things in his room. We couldn't always understand what he was saying since he was so frightened. He couldn't talk, just scream and point. He wouldn't sleep in there sometimes, but on the couch. Mom wouldn't let anyone sleep in her room, not even for naps. She was trying to protect us. One day she came home early. She drove 2 hours to work and two back each day. For some reason, she came in early, and thank God she did, or my sweet baby brother would have been dead. He almost hanged himself from the back patio right outside of the sliding glass doors. I cooked every night and watched after everyone until Mom came home, so that made sense that I was in the kitchen cooking and knew he was outside playing. I knew I was watching him go in and out of the house playing, where I could hear him and see him if I stepped around the corner between the breakfast nook on the left and the living room furniture on the right. This was our routine. The girls were playing with their friends in the front yard, but they were too in and out. I always knew where they were, but that day was like walking through water at the bottom of a pool. Where did he find the rope? When did he move the ladder? How did this little boy loop the rope over his head to the edge of the roof, hanging off the back of the house? Even with the ladder, he wasn't tall enough. How did he know how to make a perfect hangman's noose? Why did he try to hang himself? These are all good questions, right? No one had an answer. It was like he was in a trance, and what was worse was, I don't remember seeing him with anything but his toys, and I don't remember cooking or who folded the laundry, but my mom's blood-curdling scream, "No, stop him!" She saw him placing the rope over his head and stepping off the ladder as she walked into the front door. She caught him in time and saved his life, all the while screaming at me, and I couldn't move. He couldn't speak, and thank God he was too little to remember. After that, our uncle started staying with us until Mom made it home from work. He walked in more than once, and the two bathroom heaters were on without a pilot light. It was odd that the house had these built into the bathroom walls since we had central heat and air. He blamed us kids, but we never touched them. We were afraid of them. I think the house, or something in the house, was trying to kill us. Maybe he was getting up early to get to be off for us in the afternoons, but he always fell asleep on the couch and woke yelling about little ones, the youngest sister and the little brother playing tricks on him. He would sometimes have marks on his arms and legs like someone shot him with a rubber band or a slap bracelet. The kids never touched him. From what I understand, we stayed until our rental agreement was up, or we broke it early, but they, the rest of my family, moved shortly after. I refused to stay and moved several hours away to live with my dad. I just couldn't stay any longer. Every day that I lived there, I had an almost uncontrollable urge to pull the blue wallpaper off my wall. I feel I didn't think clearly in that house, and I was depressed, so sad and unhappy. I admit I was unhappy when we moved, but it became so much worse than when my dad came to take us to Oklahoma for Christmas that I broke down and refused to go back. I don't remember all the reasons now, but I gave them all I could think of, but the one I was afraid to put a voice to was that if I didn't leave and leave right then, I wouldn't leave alive. I felt this in every part of my being. During our time in that house, my sister, who was 2 years younger than me, was committed to Carter Hospital because she was acting violent, manipulative, and completely crazy. She wasn't safe for herself or the little ones. Mom separated from her husband because he became even more horrid than he used to be. The little ones had panic attacks and cried to stay at school. They were enrolled in an after-school program after I left, and they were safe. They slept in the living room from then on. My mom would sleep in there. Since moving out, we still have questions. Both Mom and I tried to research the house separately. With no information being found, who was attacking us? I hope no one else that ever lived there went through what we did. Next story. I lived in Bedford, Texas my whole life, but while growing up in a condo off of Shady Ridge Drive and Forest Ridge, I experienced a number of awful, tormenting, and scary situations from age 8 to 13. I lived in the upstairs master bedroom. My radio would blare and volume would turn all the way up. I would open my eyes mid-sleep and feel something in my face, get the chills and be unable to move or scream. It took my breath away. I eventually spoke with Mother, who allowed me to stay in her room downstairs for the remainder of the stay at this condo. My mother sold it in 2001, and we moved to another Bedford location. I have been here since the age of 13, in which I have never not once experienced any of those feelings, visions, disturbances, or sounds. The day I moved was the day I left that spirit behind. I believe a female had passed away in the upstairs master bathroom. For some reason, totally unaware why, I only used that restroom the total of 3 times in 6 years due to extreme uncomfortable feelings. All is well now. I'm a healthy, happy 20-something-year-old mom, and sometimes I'm curious about who was there and what happened to that person. But then I reconsider, and I realize I'm just better off not knowing. Next story. This was in Hearst, Texas, and started from December 2012 to January 2013. My boyfriend at the time was offered to move into a friend's house along with 2 other roommates. This house was bought by the friend's father and allowed his young adult son to rent it out. The friend and his 2 roommates worked for a construction company, and they were out of state for about a week when my boyfriend and I had first moved in. His room was where the garage used to be. I think it still looks like a garage from outside of the house. He worked 2 p.m. till midnight. I was left alone in the house with my 6-month-old daughter. While staying in the house for the time, I cleaned and did things around the house until he got home. Things seemed normal in the house, besides a typical creepy old home feeling. It was the middle of my first day being there. I'd stepped outside on the front porch for a cigarette. I had the blinds open and the living room window cracked so I could see and hear my daughter as she played in her bouncer. I eventually noticed that she was staring off into the corner of the room near the ceiling, and she felt quiet. Something had caught her attention. She started to move her head from side to side as if she was following something or someone walking from one end of the living room to the other. She began to laugh after a minute of watching her follow this invisible force moving around. She was looking directly above her at the point. I soon came back inside, and nothing else unusual happened for the rest of the night. The next day, and every day after that, it got worse, much worse. I was out on the back porch with my daughter and my best friend, who had come to visit and keep me company while my boyfriend was at work. Suddenly, we heard a man cough from inside the house. The kitchen window was right there facing the backyard next to the back door. It sounded like he was right there in the kitchen. No one else was home besides the 3 of us. We brushed it off, believing it was sounds echoing from other neighbors next door. Nope. Every day and every night, while on the back porch, the sound of an older man coughing came from inside the house in the kitchen. My boyfriend also got to hear it. Then we heard the footsteps. While lying down in bed each night, we would hear footsteps moving from one end of the house, where the other bedroom and 1 bathroom were located, until it stopped in front of my boyfriend's bedroom door, which was closed. Then pops and creaks would be heard throughout the night. My daughter slept in the room with us. This was freaking us out. The noises were unexplainable. other than being paranormal. After a few nights of living in that creepy house, I was finishing up a midday shower. My boyfriend had the day off, and my daughter was taking her nap. I was exiting the bathroom, and I noticed something new on the smaller bedroom door next to the bathroom. There were drawings of smiles, using X's as the eyes and mouth. I felt every single hair on my body stand up. I froze. I locked all of my senses onto that bedroom door. I yelled for my boyfriend to come and take a look, but he refused at first. I had a sudden feeling that someone was waiting on the other side of that door, wanting me to come in. I told my boyfriend what I was about to do next, and he wasn't happy about it. Then he agreed and let me continue without disruption. So I put my ear up to the door. As I did this, an eerie silence fell throughout the entire house. I began to gently knock. Knock, knock, knock. "May I come in?" I asked. Then boom! I jumped away from the door and was obviously very startled by the responding knock I had just received back. It wasn't just a knock or a pop. I could hear what sounded like sizzling of energy slowly building up from within that room right before the responding knock on the other side of the door. It was as if the spirit was pulling energy it needed from the air around it to knock back. Once my boyfriend and I calmed down, I went to the room. The cream-colored paint seemed to melt right off the walls, exposing a lime green undercoat. Drawings were all over the walls. They were about the same height that a small child, 5 or 6, would stand. The closet was open with hardly anything inside. This is the other roommate's room. They didn't even get to move much of their belongings into the house besides their air mattress since they were out of state on a contracting job. The whole bottom half of the closet was covered in holes that seemed to have come from a knife. We then felt the energy in the room come crashing down at us as if it wanted us to get out. So we did, gladly. There are two spirits in that house, I think. An old man and a disturbed child. We had our best friend over that same night and told her what happened. She got more freaked out about it than us. After a couple of hours of talking, she complained of a sudden burning sensation on her right cheek. I looked, and there were 3 tiny, distinct claw marks on her face. She never came back to that house after that. The noises got even worse. The TV in the living room was picked up directly off the table and was placed on the floor next to the table and the front door while we were sleeping. There were no signs of intruders, no dust prints, or signs of it sliding off the table. It was just placed there. I finally had enough when my daughter became the focus of the spirit's attention. As we slept, we were woken to loud footsteps again every night. My daughter was in her sleeper chair on the floor next to me by the bed facing us. When morning came, I looked over and saw that my 6-month-old daughter was moved to the other side of the room while still buckled securely into her sleeper chair, facing away from us. It was as if someone came into the room, picked her straight up from the ground while in her chair, walked across the room, turned her to face the wall, and then gently put her back down. We didn't hear a thing when this happened. She was perfectly fine, but I left that house that very same day and never came back. We received a message from my boyfriend's friend who rented out the house to his roommate. He told me about a month after I had left the house, they had discovered some old boxes tucked away in the attic. The boxes contained items that obviously belonged to an old man. It's crazy to know that house was so terribly haunted by 2 spirits, and I later found out the house was built in 1955, and a murder had happened somewhere near that house involving an innocent child. Whether the house has a connection to this specific murder or not, we may never know. Next story. About 3 or 4 years ago, I was on the way to pick up my 4 kids at their school during Veterans Week in November. It was around 3 p.m., and I had to pass by the side of the Smithfield Cemetery in North Richland Hills, Texas, to go get my kids at school at that time. For some unexplained reason, I looked very deep into the cemetery grounds. I saw this white man that looked like he was in his 30s, standing to the side of a big, huge tree, with his hand resting and hanging from the tree. He looked tall and skinny. He looked like he had a little bit long hair. Based on my knowledge of history, it was a little like a high-range, not too dark blue Civil War suit, but his face looked like either he was sick and pale or sad. He was looking at me very deep. Now, all this happened in slow motion, and very slow because I was a slow driver. In my mind, I just thought, cool, they're honoring the veterans with some kind of ceremony. I kept on my way to pick up the kids at school. Now, when I was in line at the school, waiting for my two older kids in middle school at that time to get out, I kept thinking of the image of that soldier looking at me. And that's when I started to realize that when a ceremony is conducted, there was supposed to be more soldiers there. I just thought, weird. I told my story to my kids, and we laughed and agreed that I was cuckoo in the head. Later that week, to be exact, it was Friday. The weather was cloudy and cool. I just resumed my school rush time. I was on the way to my house and again passed by the cemetery, like every day, when suddenly my two older kids, very brave at the moment and daylight at 4 p.m. and not 12 a.m., which would be another story, told me, "Hey, Mom, look, the cemetery's open. Can we go and investigate and take pictures?" And that was my fault for seeing paranormal and ghost programs on TV and influencing that on them. My curiosity and lack of reasonable thinking at that moment did not let me think. I made the huge mistake of saying, "That sounds cool, let's go." I slowly started to get into the main entrance of the cemetery when I just started to have this weird, numb sensation and felt like falling asleep. I did not know what happened, but I did know that I went somewhere. However, I remembered seeing a beautiful lady in a white, old, big dress. Her hair was black, tied in a donut style, with curly hair to the sides. She was crying and looked so sad. And then I just heard some woman's voice say, "Sarah." To my surprise, I found my kids talking to me really agitated and scared. They screamed, "Mom, let's get out of here. We don't want to do it anymore." A second child also looked at me and said, "Mom, we need to get out of here." I came back to my senses and turned the car in a safe and careful turn back out of the gate of the cemetery. I went home feeling really tired and very sorry for my stupidity. Later that day, my son told me that he just saw the image like a dream of a battlefield full of very badly wounded soldiers. A few days later, I did some research at the library. It blew my mind when I learned the story of this historical site and learned that the cemetery contained four very important tombs, historical tombs from the years of 1850s and other people. However, the four important tombs got my attention most when I read the cemetery was called Smithfield Cemetery. I found out that in honor of Eli Smith, a Confederate high-ranking South Civil War soldier who died a sudden death at the age of 31, his wife Sarah survived him with his two daughters who were buried all together. My mind was even more blown away when I saw the pictures of Sarah and Eli. My kids also asked around in school. They told their story and they came home telling me of some paranormal experiences from the school. Now, my kids are bigger, but we still remember those days very clearly. We are still living in North Richland Hills and in our apartment. From time to time we experience, feel, and see weird things. I personally know it is paranormal, but I do not dig too much on the theme because I learned the more you let them know you notice them, the more they look for attention. But it is really hard not to notice them when almost everyone in my family has that sixth sense. My brother and my first son are special kids, so you do not have any idea of the things that we just feel and see. Sometimes I wonder if it's something with my family in general, or it's just simply that this land is full of mysteries. Next story. So we moved to a house on Rutherford Lane when I was in the second grade with my four older sisters, mom, and stepdad. At that time, New York Avenue was a dead-end road, and there was nothing but dark fields behind us before the creek, then nothing but fields again until Mayfield Road. I was about 7 or 8, and my oldest sister was almost 12 or 13. Almost as soon as we moved into Rutherford Lane, we immediately began hearing a baby crying. Then we would hear very faintly, like a woman tending to the baby, slight humming and whispering in a motherly, tender way. We never felt anything negative in the home, but things started to happen that could be considered of a darker nature once they began construction on New York Avenue, making it go through down to Mayfield Road. We would hear evil laughter that would immediately give you chills and make you feel like you were being watched and mocked. Belongings were being misplaced or moved to places that didn't even make sense. Anyway, there were two instances that I will forever remember like it was yesterday. One night, my oldest sister had a friend staying the night, and they let me hang out and watch a Freddy Krueger marathon that was on TV with them. My other sisters were gone for the night, so being the youngest, I felt cool being included in the evening's grown-up plans. Long story short, it was after midnight when we began hearing noises coming from the kitchen. Then, out of nowhere, we heard a loud pop, followed by the entire oven door exploding. There was glass shattered everywhere, and I remember feeling that the air was extremely ominous. It was heavy, and I had a knot in my throat like we were being warned or threatened in some way, if that even makes sense. Not long after that, we were in El Paso visiting my stepdad's family, and while we were out of town, our hot water heater busted and flooded both back bedrooms as well as the living room. That very same weekend, a car drove through the front corner of our house, which was the master bedroom. We came home to soggy carpet and a note on the front door from the police department letting us know about the drunk driving accident. It was a very creepy week. The second thing that happened was when I was 15 or so. I was the last child in the house, and I had just begun dating a guy that would ultimately be my future husband and father to my children. I had one of those clear phones that you could see all the wires and gadgets on the inside of the phone. They were a big deal in the late 90s, and I had one in the kitchen. It made a beeping noise when you would answer it and when you would hang it up. Not a big deal until one night when it was around 10:30 p.m., and I was expecting Jeff, my boyfriend, to call me, which being so late, he would let it ring once, then hang up so as not to wake up my mom. My stepdad worked nights. Then I was supposed to call him back. Well, as planned, he called, and I heard the ring. Then I hopped out of bed to run in there to call him back. I heard the beeping noise followed by a male voice saying, "Hello," in a very deep voice. I was afraid that my stepdad had come home early, and I was caught when he answered the phone. Immediately after hearing the voice say hello, I heard the same beeping noise like the phone was hung up. I waited a few minutes for him to come to my room and question me about the call, but nothing. I didn't hear anything at all, which was not typical. After pretending to be asleep for about 10 minutes, I tiptoed into the kitchen to bring the phone back into my bedroom to call him back. I noticed that my stepdad wasn't even home yet, and my mom was sound asleep. When I got Jeff on the phone, he said that he too heard someone answer the phone saying, "Hello," but then immediately hang up on him. In other words, whoever answered my phone that night was heard not only on my end, but on his end as well. I was horrified, and not long after that, I moved in with him, never to look back. It creeps me out even to this day. Also, it leaves a lot of unanswered questions. Next story. About 8 years ago, a couple of friends and I decided to check out a house on Arkansas Lane, near Bowen. It was across the street from a bar and a little storage unit. The property was covered with trees. We walked the front side of the house, following a sidewalk that led to the front door. The closer I came to entering the house, the heavier my body felt and the more paranoid I got. I felt extremely paranoid. You could see where all the windows had been broken out, the spray paint all over the house. It was just a very creepy sensation as I got closer to the door of this house. Finally, I reached the front door and felt a tightness in my chest. I had to concentrate on my breathing before I entered what felt like to me was hell. I took 2 steps inside and stopped. I couldn't go any further. To my left was a full wall, a brick fireplace. Past it, I could see the kitchen. Everything was very old-looking, including the 60s-style booth that was placed in a breezeway. I felt cold in this house. Even though it was night in July, the house felt like it was 30 degrees. I then looked to my right and saw the living room. Broken glass everywhere. The walls had pentagrams painted everywhere, and a wax pentagram on the floor. I decided at that point that it was time to leave. Not only because I was 15 and terrified, I truly felt like I was seriously unwanted there. 4 years later, after the house had been abandoned for a while, and the city had become tired of the trespassing and vandalism, they burned it down, which struck me as odd, as I had never heard of a city setting a controlled fire to demolish a building before. I went back at 19. All that was left at this point was the foundation of the house, an entrance to the basement, and the garage. The garage was tagged up like others and had a skate ramp or bike ramps, not sure which, built inside. I had never made it to these places 4 years ago, but I ventured inside the basement anyway. The stairs were gone. It was more of a hill of concrete and rubble. The cellar door was on the ground, and it seemed like everything that was originally in the house was still there. There were two separate bedrooms to the basement. I felt a little calmer this time around, because of my age or because maybe the presence might have left because of the fire. I was just there for pictures and the adrenaline. It became a regular hangout area for a few weeks until I was informed of the shed in the woods on the backside of the house. I waited until daylight to visit the shed because I hate the woods at night. As I approached the shed, I noticed how old it looked. Rotting wood, dark grayish-black color. It was all but fallen apart. As I got closer, I noticed something that struck immediate fear in me. A vulture was sitting on the roof of the shed, hidden behind a dead tree. Something straight out of a movie. I sucked it up and went inside the shed. It smelled like death and looked even worse. There was a hole in the ceiling that led to a small-sized attic. I stood in an old metal bucket I found in the shed and poked my head up there, only to come face to face with three more vultures nesting in the shed. It made no sense to me. Why would an animal attracted to death be in the middle of a big city like Arlington? That was the last time I ever stepped foot on that property again. Now it's being rebuilt. I don't see anyone living there for very long.